Hi everyone, this is Sean.
Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Jahil Oliver, founder and CEO of HelloTractor, an innovative agritech company that has been revolutionizing farming across Africa by connecting smallholder farmers to tractor owners through this shared economy platform. This initiative has significantly enhanced productivity and led to economic growth within the agricultural sector in Africa. Hi, Jahil. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Hey, Shell. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for joining us today. And how we like to start out our episodes is by you introducing yourself to the audience and sort of talking about your educational and professional journey leading up to the founding of HelloTractor.
Sure. Yeah. So as founder of HelloTractor, I started this journey 10 years ago. And prior to that, surprisingly, I wasn't working in Africa, agriculture, or tech. I started my career in investment banking, private equity, then moved on to working in the emerging markets, but as a consultant within finance, mostly deal structuring, transaction advisory work. But then that got me interested in agriculture and the transformative power of the agricultural industry in Africa. I come from parents who are, Trinidadian father, African American mother, who are both kind of Pan-African and really instilled in us the importance of investing in your global community, and which is what led me to want to explore commercial avenues to develop Sub-Saharan Africa, the Caribbean, South America, and which is what led me to agriculture and founding HelloTractor.
That's great. Huge shout out to your parents and the influence that you got from them to think broadly about the world, to think about it more holistically rather than, oh, I'm in the U.S. I'm just going to stay in the U.S. I don't have to worry about what's going on in other countries. So, question about your pivot from the banking sector to agriculture. Some might say that that's a strange turn of events. Can you highlight any specific moment, maybe a eureka moment that got you thinking, hey, I want to go into agriculture and hey, I want to focus on African agriculture in particular?
Well, definitely as a personal interest, I was exploring sustainable kind of commercial development on the continent and the diaspora more broadly. I was working on a project in the Philippines on farm mechanization and was doing some business development out there to get on a project, a pretty large project, looking at smallholder mechanization and how to scale that commercially. When I say smallholder, I mean typically farmers managing 10 acres or less of land, so small farmers. And the concept for HelloTractor was born out of that experience. And I thought, wow, this is an incredible opportunity. It was focused in Asia, but I was thinking to myself, wow, I can bring this to Africa and get to work there. And I had previously traveled to Nigeria and just fell in love with the country. The potential. I think that's just, Nigeria is almost synonymous with potential. It's almost a bad word in my vocabulary now because I'm sick of people talking about the potential and we need to really go after it and realize that potential. But that's what attracted me to Nigeria and just that entrepreneurial culture and the size of the market, the addressable market for this solution was massive. And it was almost completely wide open, the space. And so, that's what attracted me to this solution in agriculture and Nigeria as a country, and really went out there with little connection, didn't have any formal roots to the country, didn't have a network in the country, but I really saw Nigeria as a beachhead market for the Hello Tractor product and got to work, man. It's been an incredible journey.
Okay, Jill. So I'm trying to sort of reconcile what people often associate with going back home with what you've done, yours being more business focused. So how was that experience from you? Because it's one thing to say, okay, you have this project focused on agriculture and you've identified, okay, Africa might be the best place to launch it. But making that jump, how were you able to make that kind of jump that a lot of people find very difficult to make these days?
I'm certainly interested in the cultural heritage and ancestral connection to sub-Saharan Africa, but that wasn't my primary motivation. I love business. And the upside in Africa is incredible. I'm also equally as interested in building a legacy for myself and doing work that's truly meaningful and impactful. And there's just tons of opportunity in the space there as well. I was actually in grad school during this period. I was working through grad school. So I was, when I was in the Philippines, I was actually also completing my master's on my way to working on a PhD at Cornell University studying economics. And the concept for Hello Tractor was interesting enough for me to first do some desk research just to verify the hypothesis as much as possible before making a big leap into a new country. I was in Ithaca, New York, doing my graduate program. It seems a bit bizarre, but I've actually done crazier things in my life professionally. I mean, when I left investment banking, my first project as an entrepreneur doing consulting was in Afghanistan. That was crazy. Going to Nigeria sounds crazy, but relative to going to an active war zone, it's not that crazy. And so I have probably a slightly higher ceiling for risk. And also, I try and be passion led, and particularly where my passion intersects with my competitive advantage as a professional. And you think about what's missing in our community. We got talent, we got resources, natural resources. Demographics are certainly in our favor. We still, unlike most places on earth, Africa's still having babies. But we don't have financing to unlock that opportunity. And so that always made me Africa curious, because I'm like, I have this skill set, particularly in high finance, to bring, you know, hundreds of millions, maybe billions of dollars into the region. How can I use that skill set to unlock the potential, right? And catalyze that growth. And so I was just focused on that, and maybe not so much focused on some of the inconveniences of making transition from one country to another, some of the creature comforts I may not have access to. I wasn't thinking about my cashew milk lattes when I was making that move to Abuja, Nigeria, and, you know, being laser focused on, I think, the right things made the transition a lot easier.
So we're back here with Jahil Oliver. He's just walked us through his journey in grad school, working on agricultural projects in his professional career, taking a lot of risk, and is inspired by this global perspective that he's garnered from his parents, how he's left the United States, set up shop in Abuja to launch Hello Tractor. And it's been quite a journey, and it's been really great listening to it. So Jahil, at this point, we really want to inform the audience of what Hello Tractor is. So what is Hello Tractor? What problems is it aiming to solve and address for farmers or people on the continent?
Yeah, so we're an agricultural technology company, and we set out to solve one of the biggest issues facing agriculture in Africa and broader economic growth on the continent. Agriculture is 60% of the continent's labor, and 40% of GDP contribution comes from agriculture. So it's an important industry, but most of the farming done is done by small farmers. And because they don't have access to equipment, they plant late, they undercultivate, and they lose income and productivity. And as a result of that, these countries are reliant on food imports that drain FX, that destabilize the economies, when they should be net exporters of food and earning foreign exchange reserves from selling food to other countries versus buying it. So solving the mechanization problem and getting tractors out into the market in a commercially sustainable way is a huge problem to solve with spillover benefits. We kind of backed into the problem and said, look, if because farmers are small, they shouldn't necessarily own their own equipment, but they should have access to it, similar to Uber models and ride sharing, which was taking off in the U.S. time of Hello Tractor's founding. And the observation that we made initially was that if you're a farm equipment owner, you first want to be able to protect the asset. Most people who own tractors and combine harvesters aren't typically driving their equipment. So being able to remotely monitor that equipment as you send it out to far off places, sometimes on the other side of the country that you're in, and have visibility around tractor usage, fraud minimization, fuel consumption and theft, maintenance needs of a tractor requires technology, IoT, GPS with mobile web applications. So we built that natively. And awesome. We were first to market globally for connecting that segment of the market, smaller horsepower tractors, to the cloud and bringing this capability into the hands of these farm equipment owners that had excess capacity that they could sell off into the market if they felt comfortable sending that equipment away from home base. So we built that. Once we solidified that product, that part of the tech stack, we then built the marketplace tools, applications for agents in the community to organize farmers for services. Because these farmers are small, you want to be able to aggregate demand to ensure that when you send that equipment, 200-300 kilometers down the road, you have maybe a month's worth of work waiting for you, well organized. And when that cluster of farms is done, you might send it to another location, another 500 kilometers down the road on a well-defined route. Each stopping point along that optimized route has clustered demand that we optimize further through traveling salesman algorithms, if we have tech people on the call or in the listening to the podcast, to ensure that you're maximizing the return on that asset. So we built that out. And, it's been successful. It's been a journey because, number one, the fleet management solution that we built is a SaaS product, software as a service. We build that annually. That's relatively new to Sub-Saharan Africa. SaaS has not performed well in Sub-Saharan Africa. So getting people to pay for software was fairly new, and we successfully did that. And then on the marketplace side, there's just so much chaos. There's so much demand. We could not even scratch the surface on the amount of demand there is for this service. But making sure it's organized was important. And that took a lot of time and effort and innovation to organize that last mile of agriculture to make services profitable to deliver for the tractor owner and the farmer. So those are our two core products. And then we recently started financing tractors as well for these agents based in the community. Once they accumulate a certain number of booked acres, we approach them and say, hey, you actually have a large enough book of business where you can become a tractor owner. We'll finance the equipment. You can earn more servicing those farmers directly and not being just an intermediary, right? And so that was a huge value unlock for us and the broader market, along with setting up hubs to make sure tractors are being well-maintained in the communities, training technicians, making sure spare parts supply chains are in place. So a lot of different elements to the business to support these transactions between the farmer and the tractor owner.
Wow, that's awesome. I really love that breakdown. And sort of connecting it back to the problem, I have some statistics that I learned from a previous interview I had with one of our guests who is working in the agritech space, Oliver Windrum of Karunga. And they're more focused on improving crop yield and making sure farmers are growing the right crop, selling the right crop, and reducing waste. Some statistics stood out to me during that conversation, and I believe you sort of confirmed them. 60% of land in Africa is managed by small-scale farmers, typically farming on 5 hectares or less. But 40-60% of harvested food is wasted, right? Before reaching markets due to supply chain inefficiencies and limited market access. But what you've mentioned is they don't have the equipment and the tooling to really, of course, grow crops efficiently, but to also harvest these crops. And that's where you end up with statistics like the one I just reported. For example, Nigeria's tomato yield average is 20 to 40 tons per hectare. And that's below 50% of what's actually produced. But the percentage yield is not bounded by 40 to 50% of what's produced. It could, in theory, increase to 60 to 80%. And I think harvesting is part of that. And that obviously requires having the right equipment to harvest efficiently. So just seeing how you're able to sort of tackle that side of the problem from a yields perspective and making sure they're able to harvest and get an on-demand service for harvesting, I think that's really great. And it's really interesting how both of you, Oliver from Karunga, and you, Jahil from Helitractor, are tackling this from different angles, but still trying to address the same problem. We have a lot of land. We have a lot of farmers in Africa. We should be producing more, and we should be exporting more. Just to really dig into how you explain the value that you at Helitractor are offering your stakeholders, the products you guys are offering. From my research on Helitractor, there seems to be 4 stakeholders that you're essentially supporting. It's your equipment dealers. Now, they're also financial institutions because you mentioned you're also looking at financing, and you're also supporting equipment owners. Then you have the farmers. So you essentially have equipment dealers, financial institutions, equipment owners, and farmers. So farmers, what's the experience like for that type of stakeholder? How is Helitractor addressing the needs I have, and why should I go to Helitractor over other services? So first we can talk about farmers, and then we can start digging into other stakeholders that you are supporting through your platform.
Okay. So from a farmer perspective, that's the foundation of the market. A typical journey for a farmer starts with them engaging with their community-based booking agent to organize equipment services, all right? And this farmer is somebody who more often than not did not have access to equipment prior to Helitractor. 55% of our customers receive tractor services for the first time on their field through our platform.
Okay.
And they're engaging with this person who can first get their field fully digitized, walk the plot boundaries, define that geographic polygon, give them an accurate measurement of even how big their field is, which oftentimes our farmers don't know the exact measurements. But that also digitizes the workflow so that when a farm equipment owner sees their bookings, they have a satellite image of the field. They can see, is it roadway accessible? Is the field fallow or has it been, was it cultivated the previous year? That kind of information. And that's what initiates them into the Helitractor platform. Once they get registered by their agent, they can then start to book for services through that agent. Now, they're paying for the area that they're booking. It could be anywhere from, you know, $20 or up for different services. They're paying the agent a small fee of 5% for the effort that they put in. And then the balance goes to the tractor owner. this is managed through the Hello Tractor applications, right? Once those bookings get registered, they get clustered algorithmically with other bookings being originated in that location, which forms the cluster. The cluster booking then gets pushed to the nearest available tractor owner with availability during that time in the calendar when the services are needed, right? And once that booking gets sent over to the tractor owner, they can choose to accept or decline. If they accept, we then track the service against that booking plan as the tractor with the GPS antenna goes into that digital field polygon. We can algorithmically determine when work is complete, which then closes the transaction and initiates payments between these three parties, the farmer, booking agent, the tractor owner. So that's the core workflow, right, between farmer, booking agent, and tractor owner. Now, that booking agent, once they reach 1,200 acres, roughly 500 hectares, they pre-qualify to become tractor owners, right? With that pre-qualification, they can then go into the underwriting process to qualify to be a tractor owner through our pay-as-you-go tractor finance product, right? Once they become a tractor owner, they can earn all of the residuals, all of the profits from delivering those services to the farm. As they service their farmers, they pay a fixed amount per acre for the work that they're completing, right? That goes towards paying down the financing. And there's also a small amount that goes towards their maintenance. And they get to access maintenance directly from their community through hubs that Hello Tractor puts in place that have spare parts, trained technicians to fix tractors when they go. And an issue plaguing agricultural mechanization in Africa historically has been the availability of spare parts and trained technicians. So you'll see tractors that are dying prematurely because they don't have access to proper after-sales support. So we're solving for that as well. So there's so many different stakeholders involved, right? We typically work with commercial banks. We finance the tractors using commercial bank capital. We also offset the high interest rates that commercial banks offer by also raising capital with impact investors who have outcomes that are both financial, but also social, environmental, some gender-based outcomes our impact investors are interested in. Blending those capital sources together allow us to finance equipment in an affordable way to our end customer and keep that growth flywheel spinning.
Got it. So thanks for touching on all those different stakeholders. And it sounds like a great opportunity for essentially those who are operating the tractors who might have obviously taken a job from someone who actually owns the equipment, and how they can eventually become tractor owners themselves and earn a living through that service. And it's great to see that there's a solution for them. Are you also training? Do you provide like training for somebody who maybe they don't have the right amount of hours yet to qualify? Is there a way for them to get some specific training that'll make them qualify for these financial benefits? Or is the process, as you've outlined, really operate for this amount of time on these number of farms before you get that opportunity?
Man, it's a great question. We actually do capacity building training across all of our key stakeholder groups. It starts with farmers, introducing them to best practices to maximize their farm productivity. We have demo plots at our hubs. We do training of eight of their agents so that the agents can deliver these best practices and remind them of best practices. Everything from what seed should I plant to conservation agriculture to protect land and soil resources, water resources, and really protecting their future, the productivity of their land. We train our operators that we place on tractors. You know, when booking agents qualify to be tractor owners, they generally don't know how to drive tractors. So we have a training program and we push for national certifications in every single country that we operate in. Oftentimes it's the first of its kind. We partner with training institutions, TVETs, to ensure that operators get the right training. We build a curriculum around that. It's a multi-week training where our operators go go on site and spend the night for a couple weeks and also come back for follow-up trainings. Once booking agents qualify, we have to do training on financial literacy, how to be an entrepreneur and a business owner, because now they own this asset. Right. They go from, you know, owning no real assets mostly to now owning a tractor that's $35,000, $40,000, generating 10x the take-home pay that they were making before. And I'm not exaggerating. So there's a lot of trading that comes with how do you manage that excess capital? How do you put money away for expenses that you may not have anticipated? How do you reinvest in your business, right? How do you protect the tractor and that asset, grow that business? Mm-hmm. So all these things are really important for Hello Tractor's future and, of course, for our stakeholders. So we invest a lot there. We have great partners who support us in that.
Fantastic. I'm really glad to hear that there is support throughout the journey for the farmers and everyone in the process. Citing that transition from, hey, I was just, you know, operating these tractors and I might not have been the best at doing this when I started, but having Hello Tractor essentially there along the journey from, I didn't really know how to operate this tractor to now owning one and managing one and maintaining one and making money through that service, I think that's a very beautiful thing. Now, I want to dive into Hello Tractor's business model. I see the benefits, I see the problems they're addressing, and I think it's an interesting way and a great way to solve the problem. But how are you making money from all this great work you're doing through Hello Tractor?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think there's some observations that we've made in designing the Hello Tractor revenue model that may be relevant to other entrepreneurs interested in building businesses in Africa, because the income level of our customer base is so small. What we've observed is that profit pools accumulate at multiple points within our supply chain. We're a vertical SaaS business. We go really deep on farm equipment, everything related to farm equipment. And at every single point along that supply chain, we're hopefully creating value that by making the pie bigger, we can just take a small slice. And also, I'll give you some examples. We charge our farm equipment owners annually, as I mentioned before, a SaaS fee to access the fleet management solution. That gives them tremendous value in minimizing fraud, increasing the longevity of their equipment through better maintenance, access and visibility, fuel consumption, and theft minimization, right? We take a 5% take on top of what the booking agents take as a service fee, similar to how Uber charges, but not as much. In our pay-as-you-go tractor finance portfolio, we take a small net interest margin. You know, we borrow at a certain cost. We put a small margin on top of that helps us pay for our portfolio management capabilities. And then, of course, as we administer after-sales support through our hubs, there's a profit pools accumulating both in connecting the tractor owner to our trained technician networks, as well as the spare parts that we purchase at scale and sell to the farm equipment owners. So profit pools at so many different points. You add it up, you have a profitable business, right? But not any one single piece of that chain is attractive enough to build a business at scale using the type of capital that we've leveraged, right? Because our investors are commercial and they expect commercial returns, right? Mm-hmm. But we're very sensitive about protecting our customers and making sure that everything we do is affordable to them. So we stretch ourselves across the entire supply chain. And through the value that we create, we can capture a small take, small margins at different points that when you aggregate it, it's a profitable business.
Thanks for that breakdown, Jahil. So if you're scaling through increased number of equipment dealers, of course, there are different profit pools, as you mentioned, but profit and revenue increases the more stakeholders you have, the more people engage with the platform. So how many farmers and equipment owners would you say are currently on your platform? And what region of the continent are they mostly situated in? I know you mentioned you started in Abuja. So you started in Nigeria, and right now you're in Nairobi, Kenya. What's the breakdown of farmers and equipment owners and services you're offering between these two countries, or potentially more countries if you are also in other regions of the continent as well?
Yeah, so we're approaching 2 million farmers serviced on the platform. We have, and they're growing on just under 5 million acres of land, which I think it makes us the largest ag platform by acres under management in the global South. And we have 5,000 tractor and combine owners who pay us for our fleet management solution. We connect to these farmers who need services. And the tractor finance portfolio has been growing quite a bit. As I mentioned, we started that in 3 years ago. We've grown that portfolio. We're over 10 million now in outstandings, loans disbursed in the portfolio. We'll be growing that by another $60 million over the next couple of years. And I think the key takeaway for us, though, is responsible growth. We have target markets. We're in 16 countries total, but we only do our tractor financing in 5 countries. I mentioned Nigeria, Kenya. We're also financing in Rwanda, Uganda, Ethiopia. A lot of our kind of go-no-go decisions around which countries we finance tractors is related to the potential, how big is the yield gap in those countries within our focus commodities, and the role Hello Tractor could play in closing that yield gap, increasing productivity in the country. We'll be opening up a couple more countries this year for tractor financing, but that's currently where we are. And we have offices in those 5 countries that we have our tractor finance product.
Wow, that is a very impressive milestone, Jahil. So 16 countries, but 5 of those where you're offering the pay-as-you-go service. And so when we talk about who this is actually supporting, we can talk about countries, we can talk about you focusing on the yield gap, but there are people involved, right? So I want to know if there are any specific success stories that you could share with the audience of how Hello Tractor has essentially changed their lives. You started off starting to solve this problem to address the larger problem for Africa. There's a lot of potential in the agri-tech space, and there is a gap. But those who are going to bridge that gap are the farmers. You're equipping them with the skills to do so, the equipment to do so. Any sort of story that you've heard or any direct quote, if you can, or maybe you can paraphrase it from anybody that's gone through the Hello Tractor system that you can recall and you like to share with the audience and how your product is impacting the lives of many Africans.
Well, no direct quotes top of mind. Maybe I need to polish up my communication, my strategic comms. But the data that we've captured from our customers suggests that on average, farmer incomes increased by 227% through access to mechanization from Hello Tractor. So massive growth in household income. That's important for us. In our pay-as-you-go tractor finance portfolio, these are typically unbanked entrepreneurs, a third of which are women, having access to these massive loans to now become tractor owners, which are income-generating assets. And what's really impressive there is this lending program is focused at the base of the pyramid, but our non-performing loans, our NPLs, are significantly better than commercial banks who lend to large corporates. Right now, we're at less than 1% non-performing loans. Across Africa, it ranges from 15% to 25% of the portfolio is non-performing.
Oh, wow. That's
so good. We're pretty good. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's really good.
And that's impressive because it's proving that there is real potential that's being unlocked at the base of the pyramid. And then that credit is having spillover effects to these farmers who now are increasing their income and increasing the food being produced. So that evidence is exciting and something that I'm really proud of. And every single one of our borrowers, we got hundreds of them now, who own these tractors, is a special use case for me because I love entrepreneurship. I love empowering people who have the ambition and the will to succeed, but just need a little investment, somebody to believe in them. And just seeing these entrepreneurs go after it every single day once they have access to credit and doing whatever it takes to make sure they're successful. And as a platform, ensuring that their success aligns with our objectives to empower smallholder farmers and catalyze broader economic growth in the countries that we focus in is exciting. So I don't have any direct quotes. I can probably find some for you. But I'm really proud of the impact that the company's leaving in these markets. It's personally inspiring for me. And I think establishing a legacy for the company that goes beyond financial success, which has its place, but the real motivation is delivering that impact and seeing lives transform through this work and using technology, some of the best technology on earth, to unlock that value is intellectually stimulating, right? And so if you look across our tech stack, I mean, it's impressive work that our team is doing. And so the impact also sits internally because if you look at our org chart, we need to update our website, but now we have over 100, you know, full-time employees and nearly everybody is from the country that we focus on. And we're proving that not only is there real opportunity to grow businesses in Africa, but there's talent that we have on this continent that outperforms some of the best talent globally. And I think that's another narrative that hopefully we can help elevate.
Fantastic, Jahil. Now, I wanted to also talk to you about partnerships. I know you have collaborations with organizations like John Deere and Hyfer International. So how has that really influenced Helitractor's growth and reach and your trajectory as a company?
It's funny you bring up those two. John Deere is our biggest commercial investor. They own 23% of the company. They have, in addition to capital expertise, they're arguably the best at what they do in as agricultural equipment, technology, manufacturing, supply chains. I mean, they're just head and shoulders above the rest, and they're the biggest company in agriculture globally. So they're a good company to have in your corner for support beyond just financial. And then coupling that commercial investment with impact investors like Heifer help us align our strategy to both commercial outcomes, but also impact outcomes. Heifer can help us offset the cost of our borrowing with commercial banks, as I mentioned earlier. But they're only going to do that if we continue to push on empowering rural entrepreneurs with the opportunity to own tractors. They're only going to do that if those tractors are going out in service of smallholder farmers and women farmers. So that helps to bring our commercial mission into alignment with our social mission. Okay. And it's that blending of our capital that I think creates kind of a unique story around Helitractor, where we want to be competitive commercially. We want to be the best. We want to have the best technology. We want to be the most attractive as an investment. Conversely, we want to have outsized impact. We want to outcompete even NGOs who profess to do high impact work. We want to outperform them. Why not? We think that we can. And I think the data would suggest that we are across most dimensions, particularly things like cost efficiency, right? We're still a relatively small organization. As we approach 2 million farmers that we service, we got a small team doing that work, right? 100 people is not a lot of people. And we keep costs as low as possible so we can continue to grow the business and invest in our markets to develop out these necessary primitives like the training programs, like after sales support resources and infrastructure. So these things require investment. And I think this innovative capital blending is what allows us to be able to make those investments and sustainably grow the business.
And you guys have been operational for 10 years now, right?
Yep.
And I don't know if you still consider yourself a startup. Some people keep startup status for a number of years. I wanted to ask, are you currently raising money? Are you looking for funding? If so, what stage of funding are you in? Would you say you're in Series A, Series B? If you can use that sort of terminology, or would you say we're open to raising money to scale our business as a more general term to describe where you are?
Yeah, we're always raising. I don't know if I would consider us a startup in as much as I think we're just we're a business. We add value through serving the market, and the value is enough for people to want to pay us for it. And whether that's a startup or not, I'll let the blogs and TechCrunch decide. But if you had to kind of pigeonhole us into a funding stage, probably a relatively mature Series A. But we're always raising on the equity side to expand our capabilities and geographic reach. On the debt side, to grow our pay-as-you-go tractor finance portfolio. So anybody interested in making investments on either side, I'm happy to have those discussions, and I can be reached on LinkedIn. And I think we've already done well by many of our investors. We've returned a fair amount of capital to our investors. Most people have at least doubled their money. And we're proud of that as well. We're very responsible about how we raise money, who we raise money from, and ensure that we can meet their objectives as well as ours, because I also don't like stress. So I want to make sure I don't have investors stressed out and consequently stressing me out. And so there could be some opportunities there as well. So if folks are interested, they can reach out to me directly.
Great. So a question I often ask guests on this podcast is, what are your future goals? And I like breaking this down into, let's say, maybe within 5 years to 10 years and beyond 10 years. So what is where do you see Hello Tractor going within 5 years? Let's call that short term. And what's the larger vision for Hello Tractor 10 years from now?
So within 5 years, I think we would have solved the mechanization problem in Africa, which is one of the bigger problems plaguing African agriculture and development. And I can say confidently that's a very realistic goal. And that doesn't mean that we'll have enough tractors in operation to service every single farmer. But it does mean we have a playbook that is a repeatable playbook that Hello Tractor is scaling, along with healthy competitors who see opportunities to plug in, partners who see opportunities to plug in. And then 10 years, I think we really have an opportunity to solve that food and income security issue on the continent, close a yield gap across these key commodities, rice, maize, sorghum, millet, potatoes, and cassava. And in doing so, you know, stabilizing these economies, bringing down borrowing costs, and the spillover benefits that come from that, right? If we don't have to borrow money to do things like import food, we can invest in more productive areas of our economies, like tech, like data scientists and infrastructure. All these things are important, and it positions Africa very well because we have the demographics, right? We have an exploding youth population, and that's unique globally right now. But how do you prepare those young people for the future? Building out educational institutions, investing aggressively there, getting folks exposed to opportunities globally. All these things take money. Investing in infrastructure, electricity, roads, telecommunications, internet connectivity, all these things require investment. If you're not paying for food imports, you actually have the money to invest in these things. And so our goal is to make sure that these countries have the money to invest in these things. And I think that's a very realistic 10-year goal. Ambitious, wow, but realistic.
It is ambitious, but I like how you've linked issues around importing food and not being sufficient with land use and not optimizing on our yields to all these other sectors. Because once you figure out one key area providing food for a population, you're really giving people, I'll say, the opportunity to focus on other important things that do add value in life that is outside of the need for nourishment and survival. And I think that's really an amazing goal. And I think if HelloTractor is able to solve that problem in collaboration with the other organizations that you mentioned, because it's going to take a lot of effort collectively, I do see a huge benefit for people on the continent, young people on the continent coming up knowing that, hey, you know, food security is largely been managed and improved. Now we can focus on building and creating great technology and advancing in other key areas and growing the economy. So wish you all the best as you go along that journey. So we're back here with Jahil Oliver. We've dived into HelloTractor as a business, who the customers are, and who they're providing solutions for. We also discussed what their goals are and what the vision is for HelloTractor as a company in the short term and long term. And now it's the final part of the podcast where we normally just settle down. We talk about you, Jahil, and your journey as a professional, as an entrepreneur. And you've had quite an amazing journey. You moved from the US to Nigeria 10 years ago to start HelloTractor. And there are a lot of people who might be wanting to do the same, to go back home or to explore new terrain and establish businesses in Africa. So what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs looking to build impactful businesses in Africa like you've done with HelloTractor?
Well, first of all, I think you do need to have some appetite for risk, right? And change inevitably involves risk and risk tolerance. I think one of the learnings for me was the opportunity is absolutely there. I think one of the things that you need is resilience, and don't emphasize the time dimension, right? Don't artificially impose time boundaries. That journey sometimes takes more time. In some cases, it might take less time to find success. For me, I wanted to focus on success, but not say, oh, I need to do this within 2 years, right? Because that creates artificial pressure. And oftentimes, if you're doing meaningful work, you're solving problems that have been around for decades, maybe centuries. And you're just going to artificially kind of out the blue say you're going to solve this problem in the next 2 years. It's a bit unrealistic, and it does create a lot of unnecessary pressure. So I would say prepare yourself and know that there's going to be obstacles along the way. But in as much as possible, try and remove the expectation around when success will happen. Inevitably, it will happen. But when it will happen is out of your hands, right? That's up to markets and God, okay? So that would be my advice to anybody interested in starting that journey, entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I think that really hits home, especially in the context of African entrepreneurship. What you're saying is we shouldn't expect immediate results. And we definitely shouldn't put more pressure on ourselves than we need to. I mean, there's already so much external pressure from investors, market expectations, and just the need to survive as a business in this difficult market. So when we start charting ourselves for no reason, maybe this is a personal goal, but I have to solve this in 5 years, you're just piling on stress that doesn't need to be there when they're already enough stressors to begin with. It's almost like we take on this unnecessary burden to prove something when really solving big, meaningful problems does take time, as you said.
It's like, why? Like, why though? Like, why? Like, as long as you're up and to the right, you can't really predictably say you're going to do this, especially if it's important work. Now, certain things you should be able to put time boundaries on. I need to brush my teeth and shower before I go to work. And I need to be at work at 8 a.m. Okay. But everything else, I think you try and relax some of these artificially imposed expectations.
Exactly. 100% agree. Now, to close this out, you've had such a unique journey. You started your career in the US, and now you're building Helitractor from Nairobi. Now, what would you say has been the proudest moment in your professional journey so far? And what made that moment so meaningful or impactful for you?
Oh, gosh, it's been so many, but I'll summarize them in it really takes an entire ecosystem to do the work that we do. It takes dedicated teams internally. It takes partners, investors. It takes governments in some cases. And my proudest moments are people who buy into this vision, this ambitious vision that Helitractor has set, and contribute their time, talents, resources to grow that vision and execute on our strategy. Maybe one example of that is, I recall the front end of COVID. It just took a bunch of money out of the business to repay some investors. But we felt confident doing that because we didn't know we were going into a global pandemic. So we didn't think we needed those cash reserves. And we were expecting all this growth and exciting new revenue opportunities. And when COVID happened, it put us in a very difficult financial position because revenues dried up along most of our businesses. And as a result, we had to cut costs, which starts with, like most tech companies, payroll and those expensive engineers and data scientists that you have on payroll. And so we made a difficult decision to, we didn't want to fire people, but the senior leadership team went on zero salary. Middle management took a 50% pay cut. We didn't touch entry level. And inspiringly, we had zero turnover in that period. And that lasted almost a year. Okay. And nobody quit. In fact, it was during that time that we built the pay-as-you-go tractor finance product. So not only did people not quit, they were productive enough to launch a product that's transformed the business and how lending is being done in African agriculture. And that was incredibly inspiring and is a testament to the power of having the right people in the ecosystem supporting the vision.
Wow, Jahil. I mean, that's such an inspiring story. And I think that's a real testament to you as a leader. We could say, you know, it's a very difficult time. COVID was very difficult. And a lot of companies laid off a lot of their staff, right? But you made adjustments in your company to ensure that you and your team were financially secure. And people stayed. They stayed because of the vision. They stayed because you showed them the kind of leader that you are. And you made the decision very easy for them to stay. And then that's a huge credit to you as a CEO, as somebody who's taken a huge step in trying to solve this very complex agricultural inefficiency issue in Africa as a continent. And I really hope Helitractor continues to be successful. I really hope to see you in the news more. And I'm very, very excited to see how you and Helitractor progress in the coming years. So it's been great having you on the podcast, and I'm excited and I'm looking forward to connecting with you in the future.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having us. Thanks for the platform, and looking forward to continuing to engage with you and the audience.